You're listening to the For I Will Be With You podcast. For I Will Be With You. Daily reflections on recovery from the Bible.
Welcome back to the For I'll Be With You podcast for the 39th week of the year from September 23rd to September 29th, covering Numbers 16:4 to Numbers 20:11. Now, last week we did end at Numbers 16:12, so we're going to go backwards a little bit. We're still talking about Korach, the prominent Levite cousin of Moses, one of the princes of Israel who led this rebellion against Moses in the wilderness. So Numbers 16:4 says, Moses heard and fell on his face. So what that means is what Moses heard was Korach's accusation that Moses had allegedly sort of seized the leadership of the Israelites and unfairly advanced himself and his brother ahead of everyone else. So it's an outrageous accusation. And what's interesting so is that the idea of falling on your face, when it says that Moses falls on his face, it doesn't mean that he slips on a banana peel and falls down. It means he falls into prayer. He goes down on his knees, you know, puts his head to the ground, and he's really responding to this accusation by going directly to God. It's a remarkable display of faith, self-control, humility, and spiritual health. Because instead of taking the bait, and it's a pretty huge piece of bait to be dangled in front of him, Moses immediately turns it over to God. He asks God to guide his response to Korach. Now, we can learn a lesson from this. You know, we have in life and in recovery situations that are toxic, that are like baited hooks for us. And it's so tempting to lash out in response. And of course, we all do this. I've done it only a couple of million times. But the wiser approach is to turn it over to God and ask for God's help in figuring out what to do about the situation. And I think if we could do this, we might be a lot healthier in recovery. So now, in Numbers 19:1, we're going to change topics. We're going to introduce the concept of the red heifer. Numbers 19:1 to 19:5 reads, God spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, This is the decree of the Torah, which God has commanded, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and they shall take to you a completely red cow, which is without blemish, and upon which a yoke has not come. You shall give it to Eleazar the priest. He shall take it to the outside of the camp, and someone shall slaughter it in his presence. So it is then offered as an offering, and other things happen. But this is a famous image from the Bible, the red heifer, the red cow, which is sacrificed and burned, and the ashes of the red heifer have the ability to cleanse someone from spiritual contamination that comes with contact with the dead. Okay, only through the ashes of the red heifer can you cleanse someone from the spiritual contamination of contact with the dead body. And so it seems a little bit odd, honestly. I mean, this is a very sort of far-out concept. And that's kind of the point. And there's a very interesting way of interpreting the wording when you look at it in Hebrew. The Hebrew word for the decree, the word is ahok. Ahok is a decree, meaning it's a commandment that is absolute but makes little practical sense to the human observer. So, you know, if God says, you know, don't steal or don't murder, those are commandments and they kind of make sense. Stealing and murdering are bad, right? God says, take a completely red cow, and burn it up, and the ashes will have the power to purify you from spiritual contamination, there's no real logical explanation for that. You simply have to accept it on faith, and that's the whole point. The decree is something we accept because God told us to, and there are a number of things like this in the Bible. And, you know, of course, people who are critical of religion will point out that this is all sounds so crazy, and it does sound kind of crazy, but this is the point. When you first get into the program, for example, you're going to see things and hear things that don't make any sense. But they do make sense if you follow them. You're supposed to follow certain directions basically on faith. Your sponsor tells you to call him every day, you call him every day. Doesn't make any sense. Why should I call this person every day? I don't know him. Well, you should go ahead and call him. It's like a decree. It's a hoax. It's going to save your life. And that's what you have to do to get on the path to recovery. Recovery concepts start out as a decree for most of us, but we should follow them anyway. So continuing with the same verse, God spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, this is the decree of the Torah, which God has commanded, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and they shall take to you a completely red cow, which is without blemish, and upon which a yoke has not come. So a completely red cow is extremely rare. In fact, no completely red cow has been spotted in about 2,000 years. And believe me, people are looking. People are constantly looking for red cows. And one of the reasons is that if you're in the cattle business, you know that if you find a completely red cow, that there are religious Jews who will pay a vast fortune for this red cow because it's a signal. The red cow's reappearance on earth is a signal that the Messiah is coming. And the reason has to do kind of interesting quick digression. The reason is that the temple in Jerusalem cannot be rebuilt until people can be purified from the contamination of the dead, and that can only happen with the ashes of the red cow. So there has been no red cow in 2,000 years. If one suddenly appears, that's a very, very powerful religious symbol, signal that God is going to bring back the temple and the Messiah. So, but here's the interesting thing, counterpoint to that. According to the prophet Isaiah, red is the color of sin. And we have certainly that in our culture, you know, red lights, you know, scarlet letters, so forth. The red cow can be viewed as a vehicle for atonement from sin. So it's kind of a confusing combination. The red heifer, which is this ultimate holy symbol, is it a symbol of the decree of the Torah, is also represents sin in some level. So which is it? So maybe we should think about it as a little bit of both. And you can think about it like this. It is only through the spiritual purification that brings atonement from sin that the Israelites can merit the rebuilding of the holy temple. So spiritual purification and atonement from sin can merit the rebuilding of the temple and the coming of the Messiah. For us, it is only from atonement from sins committed through addiction that we can achieve good sobriety. We have to have complete atonement for the sins of addiction in order to merit a good life in recovery. And so just as the red heifer is completely red, we too have to hit this kind of complete surrender, this complete bottom, where the completeness of our surrender can lead us back to sanity. So just continuing with this verse, Numbers 19:2, a completely red cow which was without blemish and upon which a yoke has not come, meaning that the cow cannot have been used for farm work. A yoke, in case, is a wooden harness that attaches a cow to the farm gear in the days before tractors. So the red heifer can never have been used for farm work in order to qualify as a sacrifice. So the commentators on the Torah, following on their discussion of the symbolism of the cow's red color, say that the lack of a yoke represents the sinner who has cast off the yoke of God's law. So like an animal that is free from its harness, the sinner has gotten rid of restraints on his behavior. He is free to do as he pleases and go where he wants. Now you might think, in America, what's wrong with that? Don't you want to be free, do as you please, and go where you want? Well, yes and no. You know, who wants to be restrained by a heavy yoke? Yeah, I mean, I don't, right? That would sounds pretty bad. But this is a question to ponder. We are all free to do as we wish, but that does not mean that it's wise to do whatever we wish. In addiction, we cast off the yoke of society's rules and God's laws, so to speak, right? I mean, that's the essence of addictive behavior. It's like the law, good manners, honesty, behavior, who cares? It's all about me and getting high, right? And as we know, this kind of unrestrained behavior usually leads to disaster. You know, being totally free to do whatever you want and then doing whatever you want without any concern for other people or God's law, you're going to wreck your life and those of people close to you. So the red cow, you know, this free red cow that gets sacrificed is another like element of symbolism, and is it's like the sacrificing, the burning up of this unrestrained freedom, and now and letting yourself turn instead to be guided by the wisdom of the Bible. So now we turn to the ritual of the sacrifice of the red cow. Numbers 19:6 reads, "The priest shall take cedar wood, hyssop, crimson thread, and he shall throw them into the burning of the red cow." So we have this image. Imagine that the red heifer is being burned on the altar in the temple or the tabernacle. The priest then takes a little sort of combination of items: cedar, which is a kind of wood, a tree; hyssop, which is a kind of a shrub that grows on the ground; and a red dyed thread. And he throws them onto the burning offering. So one interpretation of this is it adds to the symbolism of repentance of the offering. And this is the way the interpretation is explained. The cedar is a tall tree. It represents the sinner who once stood tall through lofty behavior and is now brought low by being combined in the fire with hyssop, which is a shrub that grows on the ground. So it's just like from the tall tree to the low ground. The tall person who held himself up, haughtiness, through high behavior is now brought low. And the thread is dyed with the blood of a worm, which adds this imagery of being brought low. Haughty, arrogant behavior leads to a comeuppance and repentance, typically, or at least it usually comes to consequences. Addicts probably recognize this. And unfortunately for many addicts, a comeuppance does not lead to repentance. Usually just leads to more haughty acting out. You know, when someone challenges an addict who's acting in a haughty way, usually brings more resentment and acting out. And ultimately this can lead to our big three jails, institutions, and death. Or at the very least, it's just a really miserable way to go through life. The sacrifice of the red cow gives us a metaphor we can meditate on as we consider how our arrogant, self-serving ways have not worked for us in life and how we need to change if we want to experience true recovery. Numbers 21-25 describes the death of Miriam. It reads, "The children of Israel, the whole assembly, arrived in the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people settle in Kadesh. Miriam died there, and she was buried there. There was no water for the assembly, and they gathered against Moses and Aaron. The people quarreled with Moses and Aaron, and spoke up, saying, If only we had perished as our brethren perished before God. Why have you brought us up from Egypt to bring us to this evil place? Not a place of seed, or fig, or grape, or pomegranate. There is no water to drink. So Miriam was the older sister of Moses and a great prophetess. And she dies at this point. The Israelites have been in the desert for many years. And when Miriam dies, the wells run dry. Why is this? And so what the commentators say is that the miraculous well of water that followed the Israelites throughout the desert turns out to have been present in the honor of Miriam. In the honor of this very holy woman, the Israelites had water. And it relates to a bigger idea, which is that when a righteous person dies, the community loses, feels the loss of this righteous person. Recovery has its righteous people too. When we lose them, it's as if we're losing our sustenance too. It's like our well has run dry. And how do the people react in the wilderness? They panic and lash out at Moses. However, their complaint is much more subdued and reasonable than their earlier rebellions. They're not asking to return to Egypt. They're not demanding meat or complaining about manna. They are terrified of dying of thirst, and it's kind of understandable it's a terrifying situation to be in. And God is understanding about this criticism. So how do we react when something goes wrong, when someone who gave us spiritual direction dies? This is a test of recovery. Maybe we can learn to turn our fears over to God. Then we will be able to handle the loss and grow from the experience. So Numbers 27 to 20:11 describes the follow-up to this. God says to Moses, You, meaning Moses, you shall bring forth water from the rock and give drink to the assembly and to their animals. Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock with his staff twice. Abundant water came forth, and the assembly and their animals drank. So this is a complicated little bit of Bible to parse out, because there's a lot going on, and I skipped something just to keep it brief. But God tells Moses to speak to a rock. He says, speak to a rock, and the rock will bring forth water. So God is basically saying, talk to the rock, and this is be a miraculous thing, and by miracle, water will come out of it. And instead, Moses is not able to get the rock to produce water by speaking to it, so he hits it with his stick, and water comes forth. Okay? This is seemingly minor digression from heavenly instruction, okay? But it turns out to be a very big deal. Because what's happened is Moses has gotten angry at the people for their constant complaining. He finally sort of boils over. Even Moses has his point of breaking. And it turns out that this act of hitting the rock will have really big consequences for Moses. Because of his act of anger, turns out God will not permit Moses to enter the promised land. After all that time and all that hard work, his one dream in life will not be fulfilled. He will not get to enter the promised land. So what's going on? It seems kind of unfair. But, people like Moses are held to a much higher standard than you or me. One thing is that God is telling Moses to participate in a miracle. Water doesn't usually come out of rocks. Yet, anger blurs the actions of even someone as holy as Moses. He has taken the bait, finally. Taken the bait from the complaining people. It's too much for him. He strikes the rock. And the symbolism is pretty clear. A rock is a frequently used symbol of God's permanence and strength. As in, people say, He is my rock. God is my rock. You know, the stone, the foundation of my life. But by hitting the rock, Moses is symbolically lashing out at God, despite the fact that God has given him such clear, loving instructions. And unfortunately, we all do this. God makes his direction known to us, but we don't follow. We fall prey to anger instead, acting out and getting ourselves into worse trouble. We need to learn from this moment. If God is in our lives, we should make God our rock. God will be our support and our source of direction. Conscious contact with God will keep us sober. We cannot let the irritations of our fellows lead us away from that conscious contact.
You've been listening to the For I Will Be With You podcast. Daily reflections on recovery from the Bible. www.foriwillbewithyou.com